potential and power that's in his rightly divided word can bring eternal change to us, and we thank you for using this message today to glorify yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to talk about the topic of forgiveness, but obviously it's more than a topic. The Lord has been, my personal testimony is that he has been really dealing with my heart along the lines of the reality of Christ's forgiveness. And I know that the Holy Spirit is doing a work not only in me, but he's going to do a work in you. And I really purposed in my heart during this time when the Lord was dealing with me, and I actually started to kind of put some messages together. Lord, you've given us a forgiving heart in Christ. And Lord, I want to be able to be a witness to that and express it in and under all circumstances. And so the grace is there. The potential and the power of forgiveness is there. But we need to exercise it by faith. And so, do I fully understand forgiveness? No. But I guess Jesus did. And his Spirit can show us the reality of true forgiveness, the reality of what Jesus himself expressed on the cross. When he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Okay, that statement is one of the most profound and powerful statements that was ever given. And of course, it rang down through the ages of time and into eternity. So I put together, I probably put together two messages here, so I'm hoping to get through a couple of the verses today. I think if you teach anything, certainly it has to have a rightly divided foundation on it to understand it. You know, we're here not to guess about things, but we're here to establish our life in the truth that obviously sets us free. So, redemption through Christ's blood brings us into the reality of one thing, of one great thing, and that, of course, is Christ's forgiveness. And Luke chapter 23, 32 through 43, I just want to read a foundational scripture. How are we doing with our overhead? Are we good with that or okay? Yeah. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on his right and one on his, the other, his left. Then said Jesus, here's the statement that Jesus made, Father, it was a prayer, forgive them, for they know not. I got something caught right here in my throat. It's a clove. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and they parted his raiment and cast lots. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the impact that Christ's prayer made on the cross. It was profoundly... It continues to, of course, bring forgiveness and transformation to people, even from that time to this. Okay. And my prayer for you and my prayer for myself is that the Holy Spirit would give us the reality of a forgiving heart. The same spirit and reality that Christ expressed on the cross. And of course, because we died with Christ on the cross and were given a new man, you realize you became a new creature in Christ. Okay, when we say in Christ, we can relate that to many different things that we're to relate to, but one of them is, if I'm in Christ, if I'm a new creature in Christ, then I am in the spirit of his forgiveness. Okay, no double standard. The way Christ forgave us and the whole human race, we're now capable in God's grace and transformation to do the same to others. Not only that, but we also have a profound testimony that we're forgiven. Okay. That Christ forgave us. We live in a spirit of God's acceptance and righteousness because we are completely and totally forgiven. His forgiveness was not, obviously, was not an option. It was a necessity to overcome the consequences of Adam's original sin that passed onto the whole human race. And so he realized that his forgiveness was a necessity to forgive men from their sinful nature, and in that sinful nature, to forgive them for their sin. Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but I am glad that I am and you are forgiven. And sometimes you just need to tell yourself that, because we live in such a world of contradiction and condemnation, and that contradiction and that condemnation comes against us. And we need to celebrate daily the reality that Christ forgave us on the cross, and that was a permanent forgiveness. Now, I'm not saying that we'll talk about, you know, when we sin as a Christian, but that was a eternal, permanent forgiveness forever and ever and ever. So it's more than something temporal. Okay. Now, just say it with me. Christ died for my sin. And my sinful nature, so that I could be forgiven. Okay. And he crucified that sinful nature on the cross. We died with him. And now, of course, we walk in newness of life. And a part of that newness of life is the power and ability to forgive others. Otherwise, Satan will use your unforgiveness to make you a prisoner to what others have done to you or your past. Okay, forgiveness in God's eyes is non-optional for the believer, because he knows that he has given us the same grace that Christ had to forgive humanity on the cross. No double standards, okay? Now that's the power of forgiveness. Okay. It not only frees us, but it frees us from other sins, but it enables us to forgive in any and all circumstances. And you'll find out that will be a grace that you do need in life to overcome not only the sins of others, but of course sometimes you sin and you have to be forgiven. Okay. You have to face the reality of life. So it wasn't an option, but it was a necessity to overcome the consequences of Adam's original sin that, of course, we realize touched every human being. There was only one man that was born in this world that was without sin, and he was the only one that could go to the cross to pay for our sin. Okay, aren't we glad? You know, I mean, when you see it, you can't help but appreciate the reality of what Christ died for on the cross. Father, when he said that, he was speaking about you. It wasn't just the people that stood at the foot of the cross that were crucifying him and parting his garments, and the terrible evil that was being done at that point was unimaginable. But you see, we look at the world and we see the evil in it, and sometimes it's very hard for us to comprehend. You know, how could there something be so evil? And these are the very people that Jesus died for. When he said that, he was obviously saying it till time and eternity. Okay, and so you and I are one of those recipients of a debt that we could never pay, that only Jesus could pay for it on the cross. And we have something to be grateful for as a result of that. Now, here's what the Bible says: for by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more they that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign by one Jesus Christ. Now, just notice that you didn't do it on your own. You had to receive unlimited grace and the gift. It was a gift. So really, righteousness was a gift. Your right standing with God was a gift. And that right standing was the same right standing that Jesus had to be accepted by the Father without sin. Okay. And then it says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift, everybody say free gift, came upon all men unto justification. Now I don't have to earn the reality of justification. Justification means that God sees us just as though we never sinned. So if you want to know how God is looking at you through the cross, okay, we've really, the power of condemnation has been broken. It's been defeated, as just as though he looks at you and me in Christ under the blood of Jesus, just as though we never sinned. Okay, the problem isn't with God. It's with us. And we need a revelation of the reality that we were forgiven, all right? And that's not cheap grace. I'm not talking about, you know, something that some people, they come against teaching like this, but that's not cheap grace. That is the power of the cross, okay? So it says that, in verse 18, therefore, as the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so the righteousness of one and the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. I just wanted to read that again. I'm justified, you're justified through God's forgiveness, through Christ's blood. And a lot of the struggles as God's people that we go through is with fighting condemnation. We don't feel accepted. We don't feel loved because we don't understand what the cross has done for us. Okay. And we need to overcome all that stuff and start accepting the fact that I'm totally forgiven. And not only that, I have a remarkable grace or ability of God to forgive so that I don't have to be a victim of life, of this life, of the fallen realm, of hatred and people attacking one another and people rejecting one another. And wouldn't it be wonderful if there was just the spirit of forgiveness there with all this nonsense that's going on right now and all the lives that are lost through a bunch of unforgiveness. That's just the fruit of it. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so that by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. Aren't you glad Jesus was obedient to go to the cross? Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, and so now God gives the law, the offense. We see how we're sinning But under the law, we had no power within our own self to live under, to fulfill the law. But where sin abounded, grace that much more abounded. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So our foundation, I don't like to teach anything without a proper doctrinal foundation, okay? I want to make sure we're on the solid ground before I can put faith in receiving something from God. I got to be on solid ground. I can't just guess, well, maybe God's thinking this way. Okay. So Christ's forgiveness was a display of God's eternal power and Godhead, the result of which will never be comprehended or understood, okay, without the Holy Spirit. You're just never going to understand how much Christ's forgiveness on the cross, the incalculable lives that were forgiven and affected eternally forever. How could you calculate all that? How could you understand the power that was displayed in that prayer that Christ prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That power is with us as real as it was then to this moment. God is forgiving. The cross is forgiving. Okay. So, through Christ giving us his victory on the cross, he gave us the victory. We couldn't win. We were prisoners in Adam. We couldn't win. We needed Christ to overcome sin and the sinful nature of man. Only he could do it. You'll never earn your salvation through self-righteousness, and that's, of course, what a vast amount of the body of people that are professing to be Christians, they are living a life under law and thinking that they're going to earn God's acceptance and their salvation, when it was all along a gift. It was a gift. They don't know their Bible. They don't understand the power of the cross. They don't understand the power of forgiveness. And so they go through life living under law, feeling that, you know, doing everything they can to try and gain God's acceptance when he's already accepted them in Christ through the cross. I'm already accepted. The Bible says that we are accepted in the beloved. And what that simply means is that we are accepted the same way the Father accepted Jesus. There's no double standard here. Now somebody says, well, I don't feel accepted. Well, either do I at times. But you are accepted in Christ. Amen. You're accepted with the Father the same identical way that he accepts his Son, Jesus Christ. Get a hold of this. This is powerful. We are not, we've overcome rejection. It's gone. It doesn't exist, but it is an attack of the enemy to try and condemn and accuse. Who's the accuser of the brethren? Satan. The Bible says that he accuses the brethren night and day. Okay, he tries to make you a victim of his accusations. He tries to make you a victim of his condemnation. See? And what does that result in? It results in rejection. You reject yourself. Don't tell me that you don't struggle with that, or we don't at times struggle with that, okay? That we have been given his, not our own, but his acceptance. That is a powerful revelation of the cross, okay? So you no longer need to be that prisoner of the past, even though sometimes we end up feeling like we're a prisoner of our past or present condition. But you need to give God thanks every day that you're forgiven. You are accepted. You are in the beloved. Could it be any more powerful than that? Could it be any more clear other than the Holy Spirit giving you the reality of that revelation? So as a new creation in Christ, your past, present, and future have been forgiven. Okay. I'm not walking into condemnation or rejection. I am living above condemnation and rejection, celebrating my future in Christ. Got it? All right. See, that's your scriptural, that's why it was so important for me to lay a scriptural foundation. Okay. And so, we are justified. Now, what does justified mean? What does the word mean? It means just as though you never sinned. Once the blood of Jesus is applied to your life, God sees you in that blood, in that redeeming blood, as though you have never sinned. The problem isn't with God. It's with us. Because we don't see ourselves that way. But that's the reality of the cross. That's the reality of his shed blood. That's the reality of our redemption. That's the reality of how he purchased our righteousness. That's the reality of how he justified us as though we never sinned. Okay, see, that takes a revelation to understand that, doesn't it? Because you're not going to understand that any other way. And then, of course, Satan will make sure that he's hurling accusations against you. See? He'll just bombard your mind. Just like he did when, you know, he came and stood before God, you know, talking to him about Job. And the first thing he did was accuse Job. You know, Job, the only reason Job was serving God is because of what God was giving him. Otherwise, he wouldn't serve him. Well, we saw something about Job, didn't we? When he lost everything. Even when his wife said, "Curse God and die." Emotional reaction. We're not trying to accuse Job's wife. What would you do in a horrific situation where you've lost 10 children and all your wealth? See, we don't sometimes put ourselves in these, and he never accused God. Boy, there have been times I felt like I wanted to, I'll tell you. And I know God understands all that. I'm just saying that you're going to be tempted in life. You're going to have people that will plot against you. Okay, and sometimes they really believe they're serving God. They're that delusional. Okay. Forgiveness is a beautiful thing. And here's what Romans 5, 1 and 2 says. Are you still with me? It says, therefore being justified by faith. Okay, you have to receive the truth in your heart by faith. Okay, so, you know, settle the issue. It's a hard issue. Everything in your relationship with God is a hard issue. Establish the truth in your heart that, hey, I'm justified by faith. My faith is in his justification. See, just like I tried to, you know, I started to say, okay, I want to reflect the heart of God by showing the forgiveness of God that Jesus forgave us with. Okay? That'll be tested. It'll be tested. But it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about these scriptures? God is at peace with you. God is not accusing you. He wants the same thing that we want, peaceful relationships, loving relationships, enduring relationships. I'd say God's not our problem. You know, when you don't have peace in your heart, examine why are you struggling in light of the cross, where God has made peace with us through his Son, Jesus Christ. If there's any place to find acceptance in this life, it's with God. He's already made peace through the blood of the cross. We just need to acknowledge it and believe that that's the reality of what we are to live in. God's not my problem. He's not angry with me. He hasn't rejected me. If I sit down to fellowship with God, I realize that there's nothing between me and God but total acceptance, total peace. I'm forgiven. I'm declared righteous. I'm justified as though I never sinned. I'm accepted as though he has accepted his own Son, Jesus Christ. How much more powerful can it get? See what I'm trying to tell you? I'm trying to... Amen. See? And it says that therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Your problem is that we don't have peace with ourselves. Come on, somebody. I mean, we have issues with ourselves. And let me just talk about issues with ourselves. When you have an issue, internal issue, the first thing to do is repent of that conflict. If it is creating strife within, strife without, strife against people. That's an area that you have grace to now resolve these things and ask forgiveness. So, what I have started to practice, and I'm not saying that's the big deal or anything, but when I have been sinned against or rejected, I take communion and I pray. I put those people on a list and I pray for them and I say, Lord, Father, thank you for, I forgive them, but Lord, thank you for, I want to believe, whether it ever happens or not, I want to believe for reconciliation, forgiveness and reconciliation with that person. Okay. That keeps me away from the rest, the other side of it. I don't want to go there. I don't want to lose my peace over what people have done. I want to be at peace in Christ and move forward in the freedom that he provided through the cross. I don't, when it comes to what they did, you know what? Yes, you can remember it, but you need to develop a bad memory. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is you need to quit practicing, rehearsing what they've done to you. Quit practicing that. Okay, just quit doing it because it keeps it alive and it keeps the bitterness growing. Or stop it. Stop it. Stop doing that. Stop. It's a sin. It's a bad habit that will keep you in bondage to others' sins against you. All right? And sometimes a lot of the way people live, they live that way. That's horrible. Okay. To me, I want what God's perfect will is, and that is to be at peace with God and with man. With God and with man. How can I be at peace with someone that is sinning against me? Well, the first step is to forgive them. And then I take communion. I'm not saying it's a formula, but I pray for them. And then I pray that, Lord, if there's a possibility of forgiveness and reconciliation, I want to be reconciled to that person. I've already forgiven them, and I'm already willing to accept a new relationship with that person. Instead of having an attitude, well, I never want to see him again. I never want to be with him again. And I'm not talking about, people that have grievously sinned and they don't want a relationship with you. And I can still forgive them, right? I mean, so we're justified by faith. Okay, we have access by faith into his grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Glory of God. The forgiveness of God is the glory of God. The forgiveness of God is the glory of God. It's a manifestation of his glory. And then let's just close with this here. I won't be getting into my second message. I'll do that next week. I think I had a good start, though, didn't I, to lay that foundation? All right. So the Bible says that if we do sin, I know none of us ever sinned since we came to the Lord, did we? We have an advocate with the Father. Somebody tell me what the word advocate means. Does somebody know what that means? Okay. What do you think Jesus is in the throne room for? He's our advocate. He says, Father, they're asking your forgiveness for their sin. Reflecting back to what happened on the cross, the Father has to grant that forgiveness. Okay. There's only one form. The Bible says all manner of sin shall be forgiven. And there's only one sin that's never forgiven, and that's the sin of the Holy Spirit, of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, rejecting his offer for redemption. That's the only unpardonable sin. People die rejecting his love, his offer on the cross. Otherwise, all manner of sin. Okay, there's no sin that anybody ever sinned that can't be forgiven. Okay, now I can't imagine sometimes when we see some of the stuff that people have done to people, like Hitler, I doubt very much that he was redeemed, but I mean, the awful things that people do. Okay. But we have an advocate. He's sitting in the throne room as our advocate. You see? This is foundational. You have to believe that when you go into that throne room of grace, that you're going to receive by faith when you really, really repent. I'm not talking about playing a game with God here now. I'm talking about real repentance, that you are forgiven by the Father. Christ is our guarantee. He is our advocate with the Father. Okay, you got it? All right. I think that's exciting. We have an advocate with the Father. Little children, 1 John 2:1, little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's our advocate. And then here's another powerful one. Think about this. Think about 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins. Now, you know, this isn't cheap grace. I'm just telling you right now. There's teaching out there that you can just live any way you want and you're going to be accepted by God. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. Justice demanded our forgiveness. Justice commanded our forgiveness on the cross. He's faithful to carry out the blessing of his sacrifice. Faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What cleanses us? It's his blood. See, we don't realize the power of that cleansing. It's thorough, it's complete, it's perfect, it's total, it's eternal in nature. We're dealing with I guess billions of commercials have been made on, you know, billions of dollars have been made on cleansers, you know, people trying to buy this to clean that or this to clean that. Okay. The cleansing of his blood. And the blood was sufficient to give total forgiveness and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, that's powerful. When we read these scriptures, they're profoundly powerful. Somebody said, well, I don't feel clean. Well, you receive your cleansing by faith in his blood. I don't feel a lot of things. You know, sometimes I feel God is distant. You know, but that's not true. He doesn't distance himself from us. I just feel distant. And it's probably from my own neglect. Well, I'm sure it is. So he cleanses us from how much? All unrighteousness. There's nothing that the blood of Jesus will not forgive. There's nothing the blood of Jesus will not cleanse. Somebody needs to say, I feel clean after we confess a sin. Yes. You know what? You know, instead of living under the condemnation of what was done, you need to say, thank you, Lord, I am clean. I am thoroughly cleansed. Hallelujah. All right? So that we clearly see the potential power and purpose of the forgiveness of the cross. And I'm closing with this, that we are now given a testimony that I am forgiven and free from the condemnation of sin. Say it with me. I am forgiven and I am free from the condemnation of sin. I mean, how much more powerful can it get? Okay. This message is a life-changing message here. It really is. And the Holy Spirit came to me and gave me this whole message. Probably within about 15 or 20 minutes, I had it down on paper, and then I had to kind of refine it. Now, next week's message, if I give it, I'm hopefully on a series of forgiveness. I got some thoughts from some other people. But that was the introduction, and that's what the Holy Spirit gave me that I wrote down. Now, I want you to know the miracle workers in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to heal your past. It's already healed if you just accept it. So you can walk away from it knowing that you're forgiven for your past. Amen. And you're free to move on now into the future. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right.